Prayer first. Heavenly Father, we welcome you this hour, asking you for your blessing and help us as we gather here today. We pray for your guidance in the matters at hand, and ask that you clearly show us how to conduct our work in the spirit of joy and enthusiasm. Amen.
Amen.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America, and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
The City of Kirby is dedicated to delivering excellent municipal services to our community in a fiscally responsible manner. I apologize, I have Tourette's, I thought I was at work.
Okay.
City Secretary, please call roll.
Mayor Pro Tem Grant?
Yes, ma'am.
Council Member Alvarado?
She did tell us that she would not be here.
Thank you. Council Member Salazar?
Here.
Councilmember Ryder,
here.
Councilmember
Street?
Here.
Councilmember Martin?
Here.
Mayor Aldridge?
Here.
We have a quorum.
We will now open up citizens' participation. Do we have anybody signed up?
Okay. All right. We will go to 6A. Discussion and direction on City of Kirby fiscal year 2021-2022 budget.
All right, so just as a reminder that what we're doing tonight is the second half of the target is presenting a request. So tonight you'll hear from police, animal services, and the water department. And then at the end, I want to go back and talk about the streets a little bit. You have the sheet I gave you today, the one that was stapled at each department. I will ask that you, at the end of tonight, you give this back to me, if you'll make your notes on there and mark the items. So if you have other copies that you can keep, then this is the one that I do need back on my local site. We also have this package, which is want to show you the items that are, the departments are going to cover tonight. All right, so we'll start with the police department.
Good afternoon, Council. So I wanted to discuss some of the capital items and why I'm actually requesting them. The first three on your sheet, or the first two, I apologize, is going to be the Symphony consoles and the Vistacom recorder, which go hand in hand. The third radio director IP upgrade is going to be separate from this particular, these two units that I'm requesting. It is an alternative. Now, I want to give you guys a heads up. I just passed out a memorandum provided by the Alamo Area Regional Radio System, which basically grants us permission to use the radio waves with certain guidelines. Last year in May, they made certain requirements. If you look on page 2 of that memorandum I just passed out to y'all, you're going to see the P25 Phase 2, the minimum 256 modes. Now, a lot of this is really technical, so bear with me. I'm not an IT person, but I got the best information I could to kind of describe it to y'all. Ultimately, these are the required line items in order to even participate in having a dispatch, radio waves, you name it. So the reason I'm showing that to you first is so that when we go through the line items of the involving the Symphony consoles and what they mean, it's coming from the requirements, a lot of them. So if I pass it over, it's only because it's a little technical for me to explain. I did invite Ms. Anna Solis, which is our sales representative, to try and explain some of this stuff that I won't be able to because of the it's pretty rough. She is on her way here currently, and hopefully will be here before we end if you have any further questions involving all the IT stuff. I'm going to go ahead and begin on the first line item, which is the symphony consoles, if you would turn to the invoice that says $102,772.36. Now, this quote is to completely and utterly replace all of our dispatch equipment. We currently are having some major complications with our radio equipment. The radio software is running at a really slow pace. The computers that hold the software currently have Windows XP 2002, which is the software before Windows 7. Now, because we utilized the license, we run license plates, we run missing persons, we get alerts, we get criminal history. Being that far behind causes us to be in a little pickle with CJIS. So there also has been multiple instances in the last 6 to 8 months where the radios has failed on us through transmission. Whether they dispatch cannot hear us entirely, whether the stereo inside there doesn't work. This causes them, anytime we have a digital issue like that where we are not understood over the air, it causes them to get out of their seat, to go in the back room, manually turn off all of those radios in our network, and then restart them. Sometimes that works, and it's for a short period of time. Currently, we have 4 channels. Those 4 channels, one of them is utilized by the police department. It's called Kirby PD. We cannot use that. We are currently on the number 4, which is used for animal control services or animal services. There has been instances in the last couple of months where our officers have been in physical struggles, and it did not work. They've keyed up. We can see it on body cam. They're keying up, and dispatch is not hearing them. An additional issue was brought up, and I did find this out. We have some of it repaired. It was some technical with the generator and things like that. But typically when we have power surges, if the lights come off, the computers are supposed to stay on long enough for the generator to kick on. Now, that's a service provided by Daily Wells. There's a battery separate that keeps the computers on so there's no interruption to any 911 services. Yes?
How old is that system?
Mm-hmm.
And how old is that battery backup?
So, I have that at the end. The equipment was originally purchased in 2011. changed out the radios, and these are just models. We changed out the radios to M7100s to M7300s, which makes them P25 capable, but I'll explain that later when we go through.
You know, let's just stay on the power surge right now, okay?
Sure. Yeah. So that was in 2013 when we did upgrades on the radios.
Okay.
Then there's been no maintenance contracts in the last, right, since we've had this.
So we have 8-year-old radios with no maintenance?
No, ma'am.
Okay.
There was an upgrade for the director IP, which was conducted, I believe, in 2017. But we have upgrade systems since then. Ms. Tina was not able to find it because it was back in 2010. A lot of this stuff was older than when the system, Tyler system that we currently have that holds all our invoices. So that is why I'm asking for a full replacement.
Well, you can't piecemeal this system. Either it's all one or the other. There's no pieces to it.
No, sir.
The little orange buttons don't work either half the time.
Sometimes they stick, and that's where the slower pace comes in.
I've already heard that one already.
You have Windows XP.
Yeah.
Correct, on both radio consoles.
Now, what I want everybody to understand about, like, Windows XP and Windows 7, there are no security updates. Mm-hmm. With the time that we live in now, with all of the security breaches, mm-hmm, and all of the malware and the hackers, their system is very, very, very vulnerable. Mm-hmm. And that's scary. That's scary. Very scary. And we have to do something about
that. Lieutenant, how long has this been going on? About the radios not being able to communicate.
This issue, I mean, the digital part of it has always been hit or miss, but this particular issue that I'm discussing has been within the 6 to 8 months. It's been recent.
We can't allow this. We can't allow these all to be in jeopardy like this.
The XP and stuff, it doesn't support
what
we need.
Right.
And honestly, what happened was, because of the painting the tower and a whole bunch of things like that, that's why nobody got a raise. That's why we cut these other things. That's when you have to make the tough decision as to what gets done.
We got to protect our
own. This has got to come on. This has to come on.
Right.
No.
Period.
Well, as soon as you said that the officers were in a physical struggle and couldn't get through, right there you had me. Because we have to protect the officers.
Just a heads up, we're not the only ones that use dispatch. We have dispatch for animal services and fire and EMS as well, and they've been having similar issues as well. It's the same issue, it's the same concept.
Well, when the system starts to crater, it's going to go. It's just like when you defrag your computer. This is so loaded up, the system is, it can't take anymore. It's at capacity. That I know. You're doing a great job, but I'm going to tell you right now, Chief, here's the deal. We got to do this. I know people need to understand what you're asking for, but this is one of those deals, it's like, it has to be, in my opinion.
I believe that, too.
What I don't like is, I know you tried to work with it this long. I don't like these officers being in jeopardy or any of these employees being in jeopardy for that period of time, not knowing if it's going to work or not.
Trust me, I've been
I know it's a lot of money, but that's something we should have addressed before now.
And what's for that? It was for that 2 fiscal years ago.
Yes, 2 years ago.
Because that was before my time.
That's what we did with the
Let me ask you a question. Of what you're presenting to us, as I asked the chief on his, tell me what is the primary things you need on this list.
And that's where we're going to discuss the line
tell
items.
Me.
Yeah, it's coming.
Okay.
I will also discuss other options as well if a lump sum is not able to be done.
Just stay right with the Class A.
Yes.
Look, I've been a policeman since 1975. Joe is a policeman. I still am, and I still patrol. I know what these radios mean, okay? So, no, I don't want any secondary. I don't want not that I want to embarrass you. We want to go for what it takes to keep the policeman alive and keep our citizens safe.
Just for the sake that I put it on the paper, I have to at least present it to give me that
I'll let you
present it accordingly. So there are other options in place. Now, I am going to go through, if you turn to the next page on the invoice, I am going to go through some of what this means and what that is going to bring to us. Now, on the very top, it says, right underneath probably my name and all of the Anisalis, it's going to say console networking equipment. Now, this is all of the equipment that is needed to connect the radio switches.
Right.
If you look to the next part, the Symphony Foundation dispatch consoles, this is going to be items 1 through 24. It's the physical equipment needed for complete install of the consoles, which include the monitors, the speakers, the cables, the mouse, keyboard, desk, and mic foot switches. Our dispatch, they have a mic that they can press, and there's also a foot switch, which if they can't reach it in time, they can kind of hit it with their foot, and it helps them kind of multitask, especially if their hands on phone and things like that. There's a jackbox capabilities, which I'll explain here shortly, for the headsets, and it would also update the computers to Windows 10. Now, the question can be posed that why can't we just use our IT services to upgrade to Windows 10? It's because it would cause integration issues. It is tied to the radio service. So item number 2 is called workspace tabs. Now, that allows dispatch to monitor up to 4 talk groups at any given time, which is what we have. If we have an incident that bleeds into our city, they can put that into the talk group, and they'll be able to monitor Bexar County, SAPD, and things like that. Moving on to item. Now, I will say I bounced around a little bit only because some items go with others. So item number 4 and 9 is called the flex path and the talk path. And what that means is it will allow support for all radio traffic to the system, the overall. Item number 5 is the paging capability. This is provided to us for communication. So if in the future, let's say Monique wants a pager to be informed of any 911 service or anything, a homicide or something that happens in our city, and that would be sent immediately from the console to her pager. The item number 7 and 8, which is the IP logging recorder, all city and county traffic are, so the way it was explained to me is everything that is recorded goes to the state. In order for us to have a quick access to recording systems, we have to ask for 7 and 8, which is the license to get in between and have those recordings available immediately for court purposes. If we wait for state, our cases are going to get dismissed because of timeliness. That's why we have that in there. Item 11 is a vocoder. It is the P25 standards. So P25 is what they've changed to, and it goes back to the memorandum. P25 is what allows now, today, any radio manufacturer to tap into the system, where before it wasn't allowed. You can only go to Harris Radio. Now you're able to bring in other people to tap into the radio system. So that is going to be placed in it too. Now I talked about item 19, which are the jack boxes. Those are basically placed on each console. And what it is a little jack where you plug in a headset. If my dispatcher, supervisor, or trainer is training someone and they feel like, or that person, whoever it is, freezes, or they're in a train where they're not following up, they will plug into that and take over the call, which we currently don't have functioning. There is also an external battery cabinet, which does alleviate the power outage or the everything shutting off until the generator comes on. The services, if you go to on the very bottom, it says installation services for the 2 consoles in 1 location. That's basically for installation. And logging, recorder, and configuration is back to what we talked about, is actually them actually integrating the program. So there is an annual fee. I believe we pay right now, Ms. Monique, $18 per radio per month. It is expensive, but for the console, there also is an annual fee of $500 per console. And that is going to be, if approved, paid to the AARRS, which is the same people, the Memorandum Committee, and their council.
Now, what
item is that? Requirements. So I believe this is the section where it starts putting the over-air rekeying. If you look back to the paperwork on the Alamo Area Committee, it will. If you flip to the second page, you're going to see all of those features on this sheet, which is the required licenses, which includes encryption, which we need. All of that is in a lump sum is why we have an invoice of $102,772.36. Now, on the next line item, in conjunction to this is the Vistacom recorder. Now, so we currently have And the recorder, let me just briefly say what that is. It records all of our 911 lines, every single one of them. We have four lines. Two of them are recorded for 911. This is what we utilize to review, playback, and things like that. We currently have a 725 recorder, which was bought in December of 2010. We currently do pay a maintenance, which began in 2017, that started off at $4,000 a year. To date, has increased to $4,468. And I'm going to go ahead and begin on the line item on that if there are any questions.
I have a question.
Yes, ma'am.
Okay, so the Vistacom recorder is what records the 911, which is different from when you were saying the things that get sent to the state.
The licenses to put them together, yes.
Okay.
Yes, ma'am. Now, I will say the only reason this is being brought up is because the consoles will not integrate with our current recorders.
Yeah.
They will not be compatible.
Right.
So we have to also replace that along
right.
with it. Yes, ma'am.
Looking at the invoice from Daily Wealth Communication.
Okay.
If we end up going with this.
Yes, ma'am.
What is their inventory?
What do you mean?
Because I'm looking at the Cisco router and the Cisco switch. Right now, is it going to be coming from the Cisco factory? They're looking at getting switches out February of next year. That's how backed up they are. And so is HP.
Right. So I can't answer that. I will say Ms. Elise will be here for a few minutes.
Maybe she'll have a better answer. She's a fellow rep, so she'll be able to give you a better answer as to when and how we get you.
And another question we need to ask. Would we be able to, if we went with this, would we be able to purchase everything but the equipment from them if we could get it cheaper somewhere else and in stock?
I don't know if it integrates.
This Cisco equipment right here that I'm looking at is all universal.
Mayor, real quick, you have to put out the system for bid. So either one gets it or the other.
I get it.
So I know what you're saying, but
I don't know that information. I don't know if it's coming straight from the same provider or if it's specifically made for this. That's not a question I ask.
I only ask because I sell this equipment every day, and I know the availability of this equipment.
Yes, ma'am. Good point. Yes, ma'am.
Yeah, that's
the. We have to
I got a question, and I don't want to get off the subject or nothing, but is this system going to help you any what you was asking for last council meeting? Okay, good.
Yeah, some of this works together.
Yeah, that's what I wanted
but
to hear.
It is completely separate from this, yes.
Yeah.
It comes from because they all dispatch together fire.
Right,
fire.
That's why I was asking.
But it does integrate to that point.
There is As far as training everything, there's no per diem, there's nothing extra on top of it, and neither is for the actual radio consoles to be replaced. Now, I will say, they gave me some financial information around this. If, for whatever reason, the lump sum can't be provided, there is financial support. And what that means is to have a little loan. We can pay it off through the life of the chart. It could be 3, 5, 7 years, depending on what the life of that particular equipment is. It is a flexible program to help fix a fixed budget. So we can pay a little bit at a time every year. I had spoken to him, but when I spoke to him, he was actually on driving and couldn't give me exact figures of what that would look like. I am going to ask him, because all of this still also costs maintenance fees annually. Now, to be quick, the third line item, director IP upgrade, that is the basic. That is what we got in 2017. That is going to basically upgrade the radio that we currently have, but it won't fix the problems with our equipment. Now, for the just the director IP, but for the Symphony consoles, it is going to be $304.62 per unit. You guys don't have this in your staff. It is actually just something on
the table. What is it again?
It's going to be $304.62 per unit, $609.44 a month.
Overall, annually, $7,210.88. That's going to be for both cities, both Symphony consoles.
Okay, wait, one more time.
$7,000 what for both consoles and annually?
$7,000
what?
Annually, it's going to be $7,310.88 for maintenance on the consoles.
Keep this in mind, that's the radio system here.
Right.
This is for the second year. The first year
will
be covered in this invoice.
Yeah, the first is covered, always the first maintenance year. But.
Okay.
Keep it short. Any other questions?
When they do that maintenance, they upgrade it as needed?
I believe so.
So the software, whatever. Right. Okay.
We make sure in the warranty, if something is broken or whatever and they replace it, we need to know if it's 24/7 by or next
available
day.
Yeah.
When the parts come in.
How fast they could repair or maintain or whatever. Yeah.
Yeah, it's usually 24/7 or next business day.
Just out of curiosity, this one of the Harmony you're looking at, is that an exclusive Daily Wells product?
Yes, I believe so.
Okay, so all right. The only problem that I see is that when we put it out for bids, they're going to have to go to their specs, and that doesn't work. You can't.
They won't be equivalent.
The thing is, it will be in a way, but what we need is a I know Daily Wells is trying to help you, and I know you're trying to get through this. I understand. Having gone through this as an officer in with other departments, what you need is, and I hate to use this word, but it's the best way I can give you, generic, so that any S&P, Sherman, anybody can come in, look at it, and bid it. What you've gone to is a specific system that only one person handles. And it can't be that way, because it has to be where it's open, where another provider can come in and bid. The chief can help you on this, because when you wrote yours to a generic open bid situation and not a specific product.
For the cat?
Yeah.
It was for tire because power is already integrated into the system now.
Yeah. But what I'm saying is that in other words, Sherman can't come in and bid this Harmony system because they don't have access to it. You know what I'm saying? Now, I know I already knew about the situation where it used to be a closed situation. When a system came in, nobody else could fix it. Nobody else, you know. But now that they've opened it up, it's not. Yes, thank you. I couldn't think of that word. Proprietary. Anyway, it's an open system now. And it's a job to do what you're doing. And to catch this is not the greatest thing in the world. I would suggest that maybe you contact a couple other vendors, let them see what the system is that you're looking at, and let them give you an idea of what their compatible system to it is. Because we, unfortunately, and you know this as a person, the state of Texas and their wonderful wisdom, we have to take a little bit. We don't have any choice. We have two choices. We can either throw them out, start all over again, or take a little bit. I don't like doing it. I think it sucks, actually. I shouldn't say that, but I do. This is a first-class system. I happen to know a little bit about this system, and it is one of the better ones on the market. But again, we have to be in a competitive situation, okay? But I want the best for our officers. I don't want any. It just doesn't work. But you've done an exemplary job, and the person from Daily Wales can be of help to you. But again, it's just their system. And we have to be able to look at a system that is comparable. And so what I would suggest, and you're not giving away, I don't think, any trade secrets because it's open business, is to let like S&P come in or Sherman or somebody and look at it and show you what their system is compared to this system and make sure that everybody bids the same thing is what I'm saying. Okay? Does that make sense to you? Okay. Thank you. No, you did good. Don't misunderstand me. You're carrying a lot of weight right now, and I respect you for that. And you're trying to do the best you can, and you're doing a good job. Okay? Sure. Well, it's just two people right now, correct?
Yes, it's currently just two people, two full-time employees.
No.
which that part-time employee would total cost would be $12,400. She also requested to insulate the shelter building because we got that free AC unit. There's no insulation out there where the AC unit is on. And this is taking she is requesting.
Really?
Would that be a spray or be a regular installation?
For that price, I bet you it is. Because in handheld, the handheld is about twice. Yeah, that's kind of wasting it. I mean, if we get the free unit, we ought to be able to save it.
It's actually very helpful.
Oh, I'm sure.
I'm sure.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Drive sewer. The fourth one is the The fourth one is the Gandy Sewer Land Project. The fifth one is the rehabilitation of that. The sixth one is the generator. And the seventh one, last but not least, is fire hydrants. And I will speak to each one of those, and the prices are directly across from each one of those on the form that I hope you all have. It looks like this.
What are you looking at?
Yeah, I'm in there.
You had it.
Right there.
Oh, I have the first page.
Right there.
Yeah.
Oh, there's two different light rooms.
I've got that already. Okay.
Oh.
You just read that.
That was the first page in the water.
Yeah.
There you go.
I guess I should have asked if everybody had that page before I proceeded, so it's my apologies.
Yeah, got it.
Yeah. So are there any questions thus far, just the initial glance of that?
I got a quick question.
Yes, sir.
On this Ackerman sewer project, is this additional to the road?
Yes, sir. We're going to do it at the same time.
Well, I know, but this is added on.
Yes.
To
yes.
That's what
and this. So one of the things we talked about with the engineers is that best case scenario is the same full amount. Like a
minimum recommendation on $400,000. Their minimum report would be
$150,000.
But it would have to come out of the city budget. It would be a
new idea. It would
be
after. Yeah. So what I'm asking, this wasn't added
into
the regular.
No, sir.
No.
That's what I'm asking. We did not do any of this additional work until after the project had already been bid out.
Okay. That's all I wanted to know. Thank you.
Okay. I have a question. Is there sewer running under Ackerman now?
Yes.
I don't know. That's what I'm asking.
Yes,
ma'am. There is a sewer main running down the length of Ackerman currently.
Right.
Okay.
On the east side.
And this is going to update that?
This is going to repair the minimum of the sewer main running down Ackerman and Gibbs-Sprawl.
Some serious breaks in
okay.
The
talk about how we got there, how we hired the televising.
Oh, yeah.
Because I came to the party a little bit late, ma'am, my apologies. I found out that we had not investigated any of our utilities at all for this particular road construction project. So I requested the city manager to allow me to investigate it. And so from her approval, we did. Hired an outside vendor to come in and run CCTV through the entire length of the road project, known as Ackerman Road Project, as well as some of the ancillary lateral lines that tied into it. And in that, we found out that we had all these issues that are listed in the report that the engineer provided for us, like some of our manholes, and I believe it's the very last. I have to go back and look them. It talks about all the different number of manholes and what they are and the need of repair for each manhole as well as the point repairs. And I'm sorry, I didn't say it right now this time, ma'am. When I come upon it, I'll show you or I'll tell you. So it's finding all of the manholes that are needing repairs as well as the minimal amount of point repair that we can do. It's recommended to pipe burst the entire length of Ackerman Road, and that, as I recall, is approximately $750,000 to do that. The next thing below that, which I believe Ms. Malik talked about, was a $450,000 point partial pipe bursting for that project.
Slip lining, that would be slip lining the entire length.
Oh, 425. My apologies, ma'am.
The strip lining.
Line.
You know, I just can't see putting this new road in and having to go right back in and dig it up.
Yeah.
You know.
Well, the last time it really got looked at, Mike, is the last time they did after Monroe.
Yeah. Yeah.
And that's been 25 years.
Yeah,
so the challenge with that is, you know, we only have the X amount of bond, we just want to come in the street park, so we would have to fund this strictly out of, you know, the water fund. $750,000 out of the water fund that's going to be back on the year.
Yeah. But, you know, we're going to pay it eventually.
Well, you're going to pay it now and do it right, or have to dig it up later.
Exactly.
And make no sense.
Exactly.
The thing is that the CCP company is back on the path of page 4. And then it talks about, if you look at the top line, it says, hey, maybe pipeline length, tap, point of repair. And if you follow those down, those are the number of manhole, like manhole number 1, manhole number 10, manhole number 15, et cetera. And so there it speaks to the issues that they found with some of the things that they looked at. We'll look at the first manhole. They didn't seem to find anything wrong with that. The second manhole has severe damage. They need to perform pump repairs, and they need to replace drop the manhole. So they need to do some removing and then some new installation of a new manhole at that point for manhole number 2. And if you care to, I'd be real proud to read all this to you, but you all can look at it if you want, so we can move further along.
Is that moving north to south or south to north?
Excuse me, real quick. Our Facebook viewers are asking if you all will speak to the microphones because they're not able to hear the council comments and questions.
I'm sorry, sir, I didn't.
Is that running the manholes north to south or south to north?
We are running the manholes. We actually started the CCTV program at the north, and we went south.
Okay. That's all I know. Because more of the shift is down at the other end.
Yes, we also had one, as I recall, and I'm not going to go tell them, was the worst one, was here at Headway.
Mm-hmm.
There was a slight, okay, severe issue. So, if that's all, then I'd like to move on to the second CIP, if we're good with that. And so, if you'll turn the first page over, it's listed item number 1, and that is the repair to water tower number 3. It's also removing the sediment in the tower, as well as the ground storage tank on Springfield. And there gives you the total there for them to do this project. Now, granted, please, this was produced earlier this year, and it's only good until, I think it was February this year. And this is required by TCEQ.
Yep.
Shouldn't they have performed this when they cleaned the water tower the last time we had it done?
Well, that was just the preparation to paint it. It had nothing to do with
the ground storage tank.
They're not going to do anything more than they got it.
Number 3.
Yep.
And some of the additional work that is above and beyond just the cleaning of the tower and ground storage tank is the addition of an overflow pipe that has to be installed.
Right.
Because the one that's up there is at the very top of the ground storage tank, and TCQ says it needs to go to the ground.
Okay.
And they actually have specifications, and if I tell you it's 18 inches off the ground, I might be mistaken, but it does have to come all the way to the ground. They have to paint it, they have to weld it to the tank. There's a lot of mobilization that they have to do in order to get all this equipment in there and painting and so on and so forth.
Okay, thank you.
Yes, ma'am. Are there any other questions with respect to the...
Mike, where's this water tank located at on Springfield?
So I believe the legal address is 900 Springfield.
It's
in the mobile home park.
Okay, that's where you've never seen it. Okay, I got you. I know where that is. Yeah, okay.
Way in the corner.
Yeah, I know where you're talking about now.
Where the deer used to go.
Yes, ma'am. And the reason that's the issue is we want to do that pipe bursting there, that the whole project needs to be done because we're going in there at least once a month trying to clean it out. A lot of the laterals, and that's what's coming from the houses as well as the businesses back there, that go into the main, and they're sticking in the main, and clock catches on the laterals that go too far into the main. So, like the main is here, the laterals are coming in here, so it's catching pro product, so it backs up and creates problems for homeowners, as well as ourselves having to spend additional resources attempting to clear it. But the reason it needs to be piped is because there is a telephone pole about 15 feet, as I recall, off the edge of the road. And it's going to cost a significant amount of money for CPS to come in there, for the contractor to come in, because I can't do an open trench, so I have to pipe burst it at that point, as well as having to remove fences, rebuild fences, so on and so forth. So at least for that section, it's more cost effective to do pipe bursting as opposed to open trench. Generally, open trench is the least expensive way to install utilities below ground. So if there's any other questions on that project, ma'am?
Proceed, please.
Thank you, ma'am. The next one would be second half of the drainage ditch assessment program that council approved the first half last year, but we did not have enough money to have the entire thing done under last year's budget, so I'm asking for the remainder of the assessment program funding to be placed for this year's budget. And there should be a letter in here for the professional services agreement and proposal for conducting the last portion of it, which is conducting the video inspection of the city of Purdy's drainage system. There's a lot of culverts and the drains that are in your street that go below the street. So there's several of those that they can't look at unless they have a video camera that they push up there, and then they bring it back and say, hey, you have these issues with respect to all your culverts. So that, and then they will provide all of their advice. Once all of this is done, they will then come forth to city council or to and explain all the things that are wrong with the entire drainage system. I believe there's over 8 miles of drainage system. So the reason that this is requested is because when I first got here, I heard a lot of complaints about mosquitoes. And I still hear a lot of complaints about mosquitoes. In my humble opinion, at least some of the mosquito issues are due to the drainage system.
Oh, yeah.
My humble opinion is not operating the way that it should be operating. So we requested the engineering company come in and do an assessment for us and tell us where we're falling a little bit short and what we can do to improve it to make life better for the residents.
Okay, I have a question.
Yes, ma'am.
So the storm drain camera inspection is $45,000, and then their assessment of that information is the extra? The additional things under the list?
I really
understand. It says basic compensation is $45,000. I'm on item number 2 on the back page.
For the camera services.
Right. So the camera services are $45,000, and then if we want them to do anything else, like talk about it, then we have to pay them extra?
No. No. They should.
Okay.
That should be a turnkey.
Okay. Because it looks like additional services will be extra. Right.
Oh.
Well, I was just looking at the engineers that would be looking at it to tell us what's wrong, I'm assuming.
Some of the things that can occur that they will charge additional monies for them is if some of our drainage or our culverts are blocked, and
they have to go in.
That could be filled so that they can continue on.
Right.
Okay.
That will be an additional service
right.
Under that
okay.
aspect
now. Okay. Thank you.
Yes, ma'am. Thank you, ma'am. Are there any other questions? Okay. So that is what I'm asking for the last portion of that project, the CIP. So the next one would be say we already talked about the sewer Ackerman, and that's page 4. The number 4 is we talked about the Hickory Hill. which should be the number 4 here. We already spoke to that issue. If there's any other questions, I'd satisfy that as well. So the number 5 would be, as listed, I hope number 5 on your paper, is the Gaby Lane. You all approved a large portion of the money we thought was going to be enough to complete that project for this fiscal year. However, as it turns out, we're going to need some additional funding. As of yet, we have not started that project, so we're requesting additional funding for that.
This was the item that was brought from the last meeting, and I have to table it because, one, over our expenditures, we didn't budget any engineering fees, and two, we need to bid that out also. So the engineering fees are about $25,000 plus the $250,000 that we budgeted this fiscal year would only cover a portion of it. It wouldn't cover the entire $2,950 later fee that needs to be done for the community of next year. So our recommendation would be to take the $250,000 from this year, move that over to next year, and add the remaining portion.
Yeah, I can't start it anyway until next year, so.
And then the sixth item would be the request for the gen set. Once again, it would be a used gen set, and it would supply power to all three buildings, the animal control shelter, the public works office, and the public works building. It would set in the public works yard, and the wiring would hook up to the public works building, both of them, as well as the animal control shelter. So this would cover the cost of the gen set, a used gen set, as well as the equipment that we would require to automatically start the gen set should the power fail.
What are they using now?
Nothing, ma'am.
Nothing.
And
it goes down into.
As you all will recall, we didn't have any power for the animal control shelter nor the public works departments. And I'm looking to help both the animals as well as myself for this project. So the last and final item that I have is item number 7, and it should be on the back of the second to last page, and that is a request for fire hydrant installations. And the total is, you can see, a significant amount of money, but it's going to cover about 25 different places that we have dead-end mains at that we are required by PCQ to flush monthly. We are falling short of doing what we are required to do.
Are these new fire hydrants?
This will be a new installation.
Okay. On dead-end mains.
On the dead-end mains. Right now, currently, we have a water main that goes, just as an example, it goes to the end of Vinecrest Circle. And from there, it spiderwebs out to everybody's house, right? Well, according to TCQ, I'm required to flush that dead-end main on a monthly basis to ensure safe, quality drinking water for everybody. And so this is why I'm requesting the hydrants to be placed there so that we can adhere to their requirements.
TEQ is going to the first.
For 22 locations requiring 125 hydrants.
It's possible, ma'am. I may not have put them all in there. I apologize if I left off a couple of streets.
Mike,
yes,
when did TEQ start requesting this to happen? Because what I'm asking is, how come they wouldn't put in prior? Is the new law that they come in?
I can't tell you, sir, when the law came into effect. What I can tell you is that we do currently have a way that we can.
There's a way they can engineer it, but it's not the proper way, is what they're saying.
Well, what I'm asking, you know, do we have to put them all in this year? Do we have, you know, grace periods? That's why I'm asking when the laws change or whatever.
I can't speak for what TCQ will do to us,
right,
if we don't have all this stuff. What I can tell you is that we do have a system in place that is not totally functional for all these streets. So we're following the
legislation. I understand that.
All right.
So we're flushing them now. This is to make it more efficient and appropriate.
Yeah. I mean,
I'll be clear, we're not out of compliance. This would just improve your service.
we are really close to not being where we're supposed to be.
It's going to improve the quality of water, period.
Believe it or not, this affects your insurance on your house as to the availability of fire plugs to your residents. So the longer you got to travel, the more problem it is.
So I will still need more additional money, even if we don't do this, just to try and repair and get what I do have operational.
So we could do... So you just use the example of Vinecrest. So are all these other streets like that, or?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay. Because I was just wondering, like, how Councilman Martin was just saying, is there a way we can do maybe half and half? You know.
Could we ask staff to check, or Mike, you could check with EQ and see what, if anything, can be done. Or, you know, is it a step, maybe a step program, and then have a priority as to what, I guess they're all number one priority, I get that. But if you don't have something to, like Vinecrest, for instance, I know that is a long drag, and to, like the streets, a priority list that we go to that first,
yes,
and then work down it?
Yes, sir.
Can we do that?
Yes, sir.
Okay.
Okay, so that's all of the CIPs that I have today, right now, for the water department and the wastewater department. I also have with me this evening, it was requested to discuss some other items, and the city manager can speak to it, or I can, whichever he would prefer.
Yeah, I mean, we don't have to go into detail, but I did, Councilmember Martin mentioned last meeting about the zipper machine. So he did some research, he has all the copies of this, just something to take and kind of read through for potential discussion. And so Michael just is going to tell us what we currently have, the asphalt truck that we purchased.
Oh, okay.
He'll tell us about that and then what this is going to do about it. $265,000 for the machine. The machine, for all intents and purposes, lines up the street in a 4-foot wide slot and can either pick up just the asphalt portion, it can grind up all the way down to the very base and recondition the base, which will allow you to put another brand new 2-inch coat of Type B asphalt over top of that. Or you can add some more emulsifiers and just use that as a road base and then come along and chip coat it afterwards. So just the machine, once again, is about $265,000. They do make a little bit smaller machine than what Sagin has, and you can use a backhoe for it. If you use the same one that Sagin has, you need a front end loader, and a brand new one is anywhere from $200,000 to $300,000. You also would require a much larger dump truck than the dump truck we currently have, which is about 16 yards, and once again, those are in the range of 150 to 250. So if there's any other questions regarding that, I'd be more than happy to answer them. Otherwise, that's about all I have, other than all the paperwork we will have.
Thank you, Mike.
Yes, sir.
But we, I don't see where we need new equipment. You know, we're going to buy, if we're going to go this route or whatever. Yeah, we're going to need probably a new zipper, but as far as we have a dump truck, but we're going to need a, probably, what, a lay down machine, we're going to need a blade. You know, that's a lot of extras,
sir,
there.
The dump truck that we have is a 7-yard dump truck, sir. I cannot put that much asphalt in it. So, wow, yes, we can do it.
Well, I thought you said you had a 16-yard dump truck.
No, sir.
Okay.
I have a 7-yard dump
okay.
truck. In order to do it fairly decently.
Yeah, you got to have a bigger truck. Yeah.
It only takes 5 personnel to run that piece of equipment.
That's right.
So you're going to increase your manpower as well.
That's right.
Lordy.
So just one thought, you know, again, you'll take this, I'll look over that, and my suggestion would be next council meeting, if you all wouldn't mind having another board workshop or proposal on the street and how we can achieve funding some of the street projects, so that would be July the 8th at 6 o'clock if everybody would do that.
I'm willing. I think we should just go ahead and put it down in the books.
I had planned to ask for that when we came to the agenda.
And I think we need to just at this point take streets. I mean, it seems the whole time I've stood here now, everybody else that's got up here understands now that's the priority. So, you know, I think we ought to devote a whole meeting just to sitting down and trying to really get to the crux of it and as much as we can get done.
Exactly.
Thank you, sir. Do we have anything? Okay. Meeting adjourned. We will take a 10-minute break, and then we will start the regular council meeting.
That's not long enough for a nap. Get it.
I will call this meeting to order at 7:16. If you please rise for the invocation and the pledge. Dear Lord, I want to thank you for the great city of Kirby that we all live in. Help our leaders and all those in authority to become better people spiritually, mentally, and physically, so they may be able to serve our city effectively. Lord, bless the work of our hands and touch our hearts that they may spearhead godliness and holiness in our city. Amen.
Amen.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
The city of Kirby is dedicated to delivering excellent municipal services to our community in a fiscally responsible manner. City Secretary, please call roll.
Yes, ma'am.
Councilmember Alcazar,
she did let us
know she was not able to attend. Councilmember
Gallagher?
Here.
Councilmember Greider? Here. Councilmember Martin? Here. Mayor Aldridge? Here. We have four. First, we have citizen participation. We have two to speak. First is Carlos Galvez. Poor drainage for parking.
That's correct. Good afternoon. Good evening, City Council. I'd like to direct the parking and severe drainage that parking issue I'm having experiencing on the corner of Sparkly and Ackerman Road. When we have a heavy rainfall area, the water collects is difficult to park our car. We can't get to the back of the side. It's inundated full of water. Sparkly Lane is a single lane road that has no curb or sidewalk. It's my understanding that this road is created for easement for emergency responders and through traffic. It's basically a laid out, leftover piece of asphalt that's laying there. There's not enough to get two cars past each other on Sparkling Road. We're repeatedly asked the city to help with the matter of the tow by Mike Ives from Public Works. He said the city engineer said the drainage is fine. The city can't afford to drainage or put dirt in the area at least to do it for the time being. In the month of May, we experienced high volume of rain, towards that park, a vehicle on the side of our home, which resulted in 3 citations and a full compliance, which is $600. Upon calling full compliance, we're informed we have to make an extension of our driveway alongside of our home. We have no curbs for allowing the parking on parking lane because we're on a corner lot. We are not allowed to park on the back of the road. Parking lane has no curb on it versus Cinderella and Peppermint. They both have curbs and adequate streets. We also want to put deep gravel or extension of the driveway, however, with the runoff would be a waste of our money versus washed away in a matter of one rainstorm. We're asking the city to look over the following ordinances assisted with this ongoing issue instead of citing taxpayers for problems that the city has not addressed themselves. I don't know if you guys want to see it, but I can pass a picture along to you guys and see how bad the water collection on that area is. So I'd ask the city to just leave and forget that issue we're having where I'm getting citing the moment tickets over that issue. So I appreciate it.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you
for coming out tonight. Mr. Galdera?
Please.
I would like to see that
sure.
If that's possible.
And can I keep that, sir?
Sure.
Thank you.
Okay. Next up to speak is John Valle on the street.
I just want to comment about the. I know that we have a bad street condition all around Kirby, but on Janky and Hedrick, I know Janky was a big problem, and the city finally came out and covered that big dip that was in there, but it's only temporary. We get a big rain that's going to come in, it's going to get washed out, and we're going to be in the same condition. We have cars go by there every day, even with a temporary patch job, and they're bogging down on their vehicles every single time. And it's the streets are in horrible condition in Janky and Denver. What do we need to do as far as citizens to keep it heard that, or because they said that there's no money to fix the streets, so what can they do to get money to fix these streets?
We can't answer you, sir. Not at this point in time.
We can't make comments during the during the public portion of this meeting.
All right.
Thank you.
Thank
you, John. I will open up 6A and B, consideration of action of minutes. I will entertain a motion.
May I make a motion? We accept the minutes for the special meeting June 10th, 2021. And a regular meeting June 10th, 2021.
Second.
We have a motion on the table by Councilmember Martin and seconded by Mayor Pro Tem Grant to accept the regular meeting minutes of June 10th of 2021 and regular meeting minutes of June 10th of 2021. Everybody raise your right hand.
Abstain.
Moving on to 7A, introduction of new city employees.
We're going to invite Fire Chief Kilburn up to introduce the fire employees.
Good evening, Council, Mayor. Tonight, I have Ms. Angela Maple. She's a paramedic. She's been with us for 3 months now. And Mr. Timothy Hill, firefighter EMT, you've been with us right about 3 months. I think you're 3 months of coming up. So, just in a few minutes, we're going to get sworn in.
Thank you, Chief.
Showed his commitment in quite a way. Prior military, if I'm not mistaken.
He's been a great, I mean, no complaints at all. I'm very proud of him.
Just to add a little something, me and his mother worked Bexar County, but it was Rose Carrillo right there. It's since the 80s. And this young man was this big. He goes, "You don't remember me?" I say, "You don't look that big anymore." But thank you.
To all the new city employees, welcome to the city of Kirby. And thank you for choosing Kirby. Thank you very much. Monique, are we going to do C?
We'll move to B and let Pat swear in.
I just wanted to see if we were going to do that before I got to that.
Oh, okay. I don't know if you want to hear from beautification.
Right.
We have Matt Barton here. Oh,
okay. Okay.
There you go.
Okay.
We'll table it.
All right. We will move on to 7B, badge pinning and swearing in of fire department employees. Don't be shy now. Come on.
Come on, folks, don't do it. As nervous as it is, and then we just have it.
He's doing good.
I, Timothy Gill, do solemnly swear that I will support and defend the Constitution of the United States of America, the state of Texas, and the city of Kirby against all enemies, both foreign and domestic. I will faithfully and impartially discharge my duties as firefighter EMT of the city of Kirby Fire Department under the appointment of the department according to the laws of the state of Texas, to the best of my skills and abilities, so help me God.
I will entertain a motion to table this item for next meeting, July 8th.
I'll make a motion that we table that item.
Second.
We have a motion on the table by Councilmember Salazar and Councilmember Street to table 7C. Secretary, please call roll.
Councilmember Salazar?
Yes.
Councilmember Breyer?
Yes.
Councilmember Street?
Here. Yes. Sorry.
Yes.
Mayor Pro Tem Grant?
Yes.
Mayor Aldrich?
Yes.
I will now open the public hearing at 7:31. A request for a specific use permit to allow the property located at CB 5191E 67 feet of P-18ABS 883, otherwise known as 5458 Seguin Road, Kirby, Texas, 78219, which is zoned commercial C1, to be used as a single-family dwelling district R1. Does anybody wish to speak? Thank you, Mr. Roman.
My name is Roman, 4511. Here again, Council is looking at zoning and rezoning an individual house in the middle of commercial. It's showing a lack of planning. I would suggest you consider doing a variance and not changing the zoning, because then you'll have a house in the middle of commercial property. Now, paying the residents over time will look to have all these businesses, their nuisances, they're moving into a place where it's going to be a residence. And it's supposed to be commercial. I would suggest you do not rezone it, but you offer a bearing to whomever the property owner is. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Roman.
Yes, Jeff Wall. I am the trustee of Charter Trust, owner of the property. Just respectfully requesting a special use permit. So it's called?
Correct.
Specifically. Okay, my first time in.
You're all right, you're good.
So when I bought the place, probably 4 or 5 years ago, lady who owned it passed away, regular heirship issue, daughter inherited it. Was put into a trust by her husband, who was an attorney, bought from the guy or a gentleman. From what I understand, it was rented for some time. As to those dates, I have no clue. But at the time when I bought it, I've been doing this for 20 years. I should have done a little bit more due diligence. I did not know that it was rezoned commercial. I just was looking at it as, property that had been there forever and, vacant, improving it, renovating and selling. So somewhere along the line, actually the next door neighbor was the one who told me about it. He rents the place next door, He was the one that mentioned this whole kind of stuff to me. So talked with Patty, it just kind of sat there and got stale for a long time. I was back and forth with Ms. Megan, code compliance over mowing grass, because I live on the other side of town. So anyways, had a bunch of liens filed, and we ironed all that up, and we can ask Ms. Money Vernon to, pay all that stuff off, and we're good to go. I haven't paid taxes since I bought the thing. Just no reason other than the fact that I was just going to pay them out of closing. It's just come to the point where I'm like, I'm just going to go ahead and wholesale this thing off to somebody who wants to. But when I marketed it, everybody could call. And I put ads and marketed it, commercial, C1, total full disclosure. Nobody cared about that. They were like, I want to live in it. I want to live in it. I want to live in it, I heard this gentleman, but, look, I got to tell you, it's right here. The guy next door rents it. There's a lot next door. Everything else is residential. I mean, down the street further, it's commercial. Yeah, absolutely. I get that. I'm well aware that this is, if it gets approved, it's only a 2-year commitment. You guys can certainly have another hearing and revisit that later. Just that I do have a buyer online, and we were just waiting for approval. He's a solid buyer. But he wants this approval, to know that it's going to be residential.
Would he entertain a
this is the public
hearing. Oh, this is public hearing. I'm sorry. Excuse me. I'm sorry. Very sorry.
So if they have more questions for you, they'll call you up on the
next. Yeah, I'm sorry.
Sure, no problem. I guess that's pretty much it. Thank you.
No problem.
Thank you.
Great. Right.
Does anybody else wish to speak on this issue? I will close the public hearing at 7:37. Right. We will now move to 9A. A request for a specific... I'm sorry, I can't speak. Open up a... Request for a specific use permit to allow the property located at CB 5191 E 67 feet of P18 ABS 883, otherwise known as 5458 Seguin Road, Kirby, Texas 78219, which is zoned commercial district C1, to be used as a family dwelling district R1. Okay, first of all, I have an issue with this. For this property to be given a specific use, I'm against it, just right off the bat. It's on one of our main thoroughfares, and so this gentleman has a buyer for this property that wants to use it as a home. So what is this person that buys it, what's he going to do after 2 years when we say, oh, sorry, we're not going to grant the variance? That's not up front and open up to his buyer. And secondly, what if, a commercial company wants to come in, buy the property, knock the house down, and put a business there? I think it needs to stay C1
and no variance given.
Well, the problem is it's going to sit there.
Then let it sit there.
But wait, you got a man here with the money invested in it.
I understand.
It was commercial when he bought it. He bought it anyway, thinking he can turn around and flip it as commercial, but he can't do it. So now he wants to turn it into residential. Well, I don't agree with it.
Let me ask you a question.
That's prime property right there.
Okay, but here's the thing. I mean, if somebody came in to buy it, if even, in other words, nothing is permanent. Right now you could put someone in there that would take care of it and pay taxes, and if someone come in and wanted to buy it for commercial, just like the property that was next to QT that was owned by the people in Windcrest forever, they bought it. So, I mean, here's what you got to think about. If he doesn't sell it, it's going to sit there and deteriorate again, right on our main street. If we have somebody at least taking care of the property and someone comes along and wants to use it for investment property, you'd be crazy not to sell it, just like Bobby selling the corner for the used car lot. I mean, you're going to sell it. There's no two ways about it. So, you know, you got a piece of property that's going to sit there and just go right back to the way it was, or we can have somebody taking care of it and paying taxes, and you're looking at only a two-year variance anyway. So think about this. Anything that we do can always be changed. That's what I'm saying. I mean, I hate to see a piece of property. He's done a pretty good job of putting it in sellable condition.
I wouldn't have a problem with it if it was mixed use. But it's not mixed use. We're getting paid property. He's paying property taxes anyway, whether it's residential or commercial. We'll get more with commercial. But
that's true.
I'm against it. I'm totally against it.
What the mayor said is correct. If we let him get a specific use for 2 years and you sell it as a residence, and then in 2 years we won't let them be a residence anymore, then they have to do something else. I don't think that's fair to whoever ends up buying
the
property.
The buyer. The buyer's the one that's going to be stuck out.
Yeah.
We've issued, let me think.
Yes, but we need to stop doing that.
Here's the thing, guys. We have granted specific use permits in C1 over off of Eglin and around here, okay?
That's right.
This area around here that we granted them, let me speak, Mike.
Yeah.
It's homes. Mm-hmm. If they are not on the main thoroughfare. These homes over here, I can see, nobody's going to want to come in and put a business in this area where the streets are absolutely horrible. I refuse to drive down these streets. I got the job. But for this house being on one of our main streets, I got to tell you, we do not have a lot of land where businesses can come in to extend our tax base. I look at it this way. If we want to land hoard and wait for somebody, these commercial companies or somebody to come in, to add to our tax base as commercial, I would let it sit there.
Real quick, what's the status on the house next door that's living in Patty? What's that zoning? On the house next door that's...
It's C1.
It's the same.
But I mean, but there's people renting that house.
So this one is actually between...
That's what I was trying to figure out. So you got the lot, is it the lots in the middle? That's the one.
Yeah, the gray house.
Okay, now I got you. I thought it was the other way around. Okay.
Can I get a resident across the street from
it? Yes.
I mean, our vacant land is so scarce. That's why I made the comment, if a business wants to come in, buy the piece of property, knock the house down, build their own, or if a restaurant wants to come in, they can turn that house into a restaurant. I personally would love a coffee company to come in and build a coffee shop, a Starbucks or a Tora, a Torrid or something. That's my suggestion. Leave it alone. Yes, sir.
Now, let me go ahead and say, just
you know, Mr. Grant pointed out some things from a real estate investor's perspective, okay?
Okay.
I understand what you're saying. I totally do. You guys want to generate revenue, but if it sits there in disrepair, we all know the taxes are going to be, when the guy comes in and fixes it up and makes it pretty, they're going to go up.
Right.
That's a fact, whether it's commercial or residential, okay? In the current environment after COVID, I don't see a lot of coffee houses being built and all that other stuff. So maybe in 2 years, I agree with you, maybe so. And this guy, to be honest with you, if it was me, if I went in there and made it my home and I had somebody come along and offer me $250, I'd be like, take it, brother. I'll go on down the road and buy the other one. I'm good to go.
But that's not a guarantee.
Well, it's nothing's a guarantee now, you know? I'm just saying, you know, this is after the pandemic. I'm advertising this place and I'm not getting any hits other than, you know, so that's why I say it's not a lifelong. I get you that it's the people right behind this building I am talking to possibly purchase it in the future. That's probably what you're talking about, because it's kind of back here in this little area back here. I get that. But, you know, I mean, I just think there was no ground somewhere. You know, you guys have only made a 2-year commitment to it, and while the guy may have to come back, he may get an offer. And like I told him, I said, if you want to rent the place out later on down the road, you know, you're talking maybe $2,500 a month. I wouldn't be gripe about that either. I'd be a happy investor. So, you know, he can move off on his way, get something else, and take his money, walk with a nice little profit. So, look at it from that perspective, too, please.
Well, does this guy know that?
Yes, absolutely.
That it's only going to be for 2 years.
Yes, absolutely.
You know, ever since this property has come forth to this city, it's been nothing but a problem. And if we don't put a stop to it, it's continuing to be a problem in the future. And I don't think we need to put the responsibility off on somebody else. I'd like to make a motion.
Hold on.
Well,
hold on. Do we have any more discussion?
So I would like to know, I mean, when you say that, I'm not too familiar with the history, so when you say it's been a problem, has this happened before? Does this keep happening with the same property, or I'm confused?
Right.
Oh.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. With everything going like to be, oh, okay. How long has this property been sitting vacant?
I've had it 5 years, so before that, possibly even longer, even 10 or?
Probably.
About
10
years.
About 10 years.
So was the taxes up to date before he purchased it, or did? You ain't even paid.
I don't know. Yeah, they were up to date when I purchased it. Yeah.
There you go.
But you said you still owe taxes?
Yeah, I owe property taxes on it. Yeah, to the city of San Antonio. And I can pay those, but I wanted to pay them at close to my buyer.
You owe taxes on this house? Okay.
Yeah. Don't say the city of San Antonio.
Yeah, that's what I said. San Antonio. That's not in San Antonio. But,
my thing is, I think it's sitting there, and I understand we keep saying we want businesses, and we have these grand ideas, which is great, it's fabulous, you know, dream big, but it's sitting there. If somebody wants to move in and they're going to live there, why not?
Well, so here, what's going to change?
Well,
going to get paid either way. He's getting the rent. The city's not getting no money. That's prime property, you know.
I mean, here's the thing, though, Mike. Somebody's going to take care of it.
Somebody's going to have to take care of it either way.
But not like it would be a house, is what I'm saying. They're going to come over the grass, and that's about it. But what I'm saying to you is, if this gentleman is willing to buy it and stay there and knowing that in 2 years it's probably going to change. Then, I mean, that's already on him. He's already decided and made a decision, hey, in 2 years, I'm going to have to get out.
But that's what he says.
Okay, but here's the thing. That's what he says.
That's right.
The potential buyer is not here, so we really don't know. We're just taking this at his word.
Mayor.
Mr. Shaw, this open hearing has ended. We can't take your comments. I'm sorry.
I would like to ask if I could leave. I know I didn't have to speak for this, but I have a little bit of knowledge about it, and I would like to at least be able to speak. If not, that's okay.
Can I make a comment? I'd like to. I tell you what, then. You made a good point.
Are you going to make a motion then?
Yes. What I'm going to make a motion is that we table this till the owner comes in together.
Yeah,
on the
8th buyer.
Of July.
The buyer, I mean.
On the 8th of July, and we get his word that he understands what the deal is. How's that? Fair enough? Okay, that's my motion.
Second.
Okay, we have a motion on the table by Mayor Pro Tem Grant and seconded by Councilmember Salazar to table 9A. City Secretary, please call roll.
Mayor Pro Tem Grant?
Yes, ma'am.
Councilmember Salazar?
Yes.
Councilmember Dreyer?
Yes.
Councilmember Shree?
Yes.
Councilmember Martin?
Yes.
Mayor Alders?
No. Moving on to 9B, discussion and possible action on ordinance number O-2021-896, a request for a specific use permit for the property located at CV-4018G, Springfield Industrial Park, Lot 4, otherwise known as 1440 Springfield Road, Kirby, Texas, 78219, which is zoned light industrial L1, to be used for the following purposes: construction offices and warehouses to rent to different trades. This is the second reading. I will entertain a motion.
No.
All right, Mayor, I make a motion that we approve ordinance number 0-2021-896, a request for a specific use permit for the property located at CB 4018G Springfield Industrial Park, lot number 4, otherwise known as 1440 Springfield Road, which is zoned for light industry, to be used for the following purpose: constructing offices and warehouses to rent to different trades.
We have a motion on the table by.
I'm just going. No, they second the same time. We're very low.
I got this, Mike.
I didn't know if you heard it.
We have a motion on the table by Councilmember Salazar and seconded by Councilmember Greider.
That's what I'm saying. So, y'all did it exactly.
People, I'm trying to.
Okay.
This is ridiculous. We have the motion by Councilmember Salazar, seconded by Councilmember Greider, to accept the ordinance of O-2021-896. City Secretary, please call roll.
Councilmember Salazar?
Yes.
Councilmember Greider?
Yes.
Councilmember Shree?
Yes.
Councilmember Martin?
Yes.
Mayor Pro Tem Grant?
Yes.
Yes. All right, we are now moving on to 9C. Discussion and possible action on ordinance number O-2021-897. A request for a specific use permit to allow the placement of two portable storage buildings and a construction of a shop constructed of metal and a storm-covered enclosed on three sides on the property located at CB 5092 P
LP41ABS134, otherwise known as 3000 Ackerman Road, Kirby, Texas, 78219, which is zoned light industrial L1. This is the second reading.
Mayor, I make a motion to accept ordinance number 02021-897, a request for a specific use permit to allow the placement of two portable storage buildings and construction of a shop constructed of metal and a storage cover enclosed on three sides on the property located at CB5092P-41ABS134, otherwise known as 3000 Ackerman Road, Kirby, Texas, 78219, which is zoned light industrial district L1.
Second. We have a motion on the table by Councilmember Greider and seconded by Councilmember Salazar to accept the specific use permit on ordinance number 02021-897. City Secretary, please call roll.
Councilmember Greider?
Yes.
Councilmember Street?
Yes.
Councilmember Martin?
Yes.
Mayor Pro Tem Grant?
Yes.
Councilmember
Salazar?
Yes.
Mayor
Alder?
Yes.
Okay.
Do I need to wait for you, Patty?
Oh, no.
Okay.
Just
carry on.
Just carry on, dude.
Okay. We are now open up 9D, discussion and possible action on appointing up to 4 alternate members to the Building and Standards Commission.
We do not have any applications.
Okay.
Somebody, please.
Okay. Moving on to 9E, possible action and discussion of possible action on appointing a member to the Beautification and Recycling Committee.
We do not have any applications.
Okay. Moving on to 9F, discussion and possible action to accept Sylvia Apodaca's resignation to the Kirby Senior Center Corporation Board. Can I entertain a motion?
I would make a motion. We accept Sylvia's resignation.
Second.
We have a motion on the table to by Council Mayor Pro Tem Grant, seconded by Councilmember Salazar to accept the resignation of Sylvia Apodaca from the Kirby Senior Center Corporation Board. Mayor Pro Tem Grant made the motion, and Councilmember Salazar seconded. Okay. Please call roll.
Yes, ma'am.
Councilmember Salazar?
Yes.
Councilmember Martin?
Yes.
Councilmember Wright?
Yes.
Councilmember Street?
Yes.
Mayor Holman?
Yes. Moving on to 9G, discussion and possible action on the appointment of members to the Kirby Senior Corporation Board.
We do have two applications, and we have our center manager here. If you have any questions, you have them in your package.
Yes, we do. One is Jessica Zapata
Salvador.
Did I pronounce
it? Yes, she's over there in the corner.
I'm so sorry. I didn't mean to butcher your name.
We're just thankful you volunteered. Thank you.
And Bonnie Bador? Is Bonnie here? Okay. And how many vacancies do you have on your board, Norma? You have 7 vacancies? Or?
We have 1 vacancy since there.
Thank you.
Okay.
Okay.
So basically, we could take these 2 and put them as board members.
Yes, and we did vote to approve that on Monday at the Senior Center.
Okay.
Mayor, make a motion. We accept the board's. What do you think the board I want to use? Your recommendation.
Yes, recommendation.
Good Lord. We're getting older by the day. I make a motion we accept the senior board recommendation for these 2 people. Nominees. I don't have them.
Oh, right. Right here.
Oh, boy.
Jessica.
Stefana. Greg.
Jessica Bogadaris.
Bogadaris, okay. And?
Bonnie
Bedore. Thank you.
Second.
That works.
We have a motion on the table to accept Jessica Bogadaris and Bonnie Bedore to the Senior Center Corporation Board. City Secretary, please call roll.
Mayor Pro Tem Grant?
Yes.
Councilmember Jalabon?
Yes.
Councilmember Ryder?
Yes.
Councilmember Street?
Yes.
Councilmember Martin?
Yes.
Yes.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Jessica.
Now we will move on to 9H, discussion and possible action on the City of Kirby's website proposals.
One from our current website provider, Public Alliance, for $4,000 to do some upgrades and improvements, and an annual fee of $600, which is what we pay now. We have one from Revive for $10,520 and an annual fee of $1,900. Third proposal came from Internet Direct for $14,500 and an annual fee of $500. And the fourth proposal came from Civic Plus for $22,500 and an annual fee of
$4,725.
I appreciate y'all tabling this while I was out last meeting. I believe that we should look at Public Alliance because, number one, they're the lower bid at this point. Also, we need to upgrade our website, and this will get us started on that. We don't have to do everything at one time. We can get new tabs at the top. We can get better forms made so on the website so that you can type in and communicate better with the city. But I believe that we need to just go ahead and do this. And get things moving.
Did he speak about correlation too? A little bit more correlation with things, I believe.
Correlation with
the drop downs are easier to find
and more related to what you're looking for. So if you want to look for the budget, we're going to have a tab where you can be able to find the budget and things like that.
Why don't you make it a motion?
We haven't finished discussion, I was just bringing up the points that I wanted to make about why I think we should use Public Alliance. They did start us off with this. The other ones are really way out of our budget at this point.
Monique, isn't this the company where I pinned him down to $3,000 plus the other one?
Yes. He was the gentleman that came in and did the presentation, yes.
So the question is, is this something you all are looking to put into the budget October 1, or do you plan to try to find some money to do this now?
October 1.
I believe October 1 would work because that would give us some time to talk about exactly what we want them to do, and we can give them some kind of schematic.
And I think we made them aware of that.
We did.
I think we've got more pressing issues than our website.
Yes.
And I know it's only $3,000.
$4,000.
It's $4,000.
I've pinned him down to three. I've got him on recording said three. And I will hold him to that.
It's $4,000 on here.
Well, you know what? We've got him on a public meeting.
Okay.
I will hold him to that $3,000.
All right. That's fine.
I really think that we have more pressing issues. We can try to work it into the budget. But I think we've got bigger issues that we've got to, tackle before we even look into this. I mean, I agree. The website needs work. I got on there and just searched on pool
and it came up nothing what I wanted. So I know the website needs work.
If we can work it out to where we can get $3,000 together,
fine.
One way or another.
Not on this budget.
No.
You know, not on this budget.
Let's put it on there and see, Monique, let's put it on there and see if we can work it in.
Yes.
Next. If we can work it in. I mean, we put gob of stuff on the city budget, but do they actually make it through a lot of times? No, they don't. We can always add it. We can always take it off so when we balance our budget.
Okay. Okay. So do we need to make a motion or something?
No.
Okay. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Susan. Okay. Next, we will move on to 9J, possible discussion and direction on intersection stop sign locations.
Okay, so this is placed on there because I believe a couple of council members asked about specific locations of stop signs,
yes.
And then we had a resident at the last meeting who requested a stop sign. So we were also provided by email with schedule. We had to do some digging. So there are ordinances that establish where you place your actual stop sign.
Right.
So that list of all of the copies that we have, the original ordinance, which I can't remember that. Do you remember what year that is?
1975.
And then there were a couple of changes along the way. So this is the list that shows you where they are now. If you wanted to make any changes, you would have to do it in the ordinance. One thing that we have not done, because we were able to just locate this, is go in inventory and see, are all of the stop signs designated in here actually there to determine, was one accidentally removed, was it knocked down and just never replaced, or was it removed by ordinance, and that's why it's not there.
There was a stop sign. Is there one there for Swan and Telegraph?
Yes.
There was one there.
Yeah, that's what I'm asking. Is it on the list?
Swan and Telegraph, yes. But Broad Street.
Right.
Doesn't have.
Right, right.
No, it's only a one-way stop.
It's not a one-way stop, it's not a four-way stop.
Right, yeah, right.
But it's gone.
That's why I'm asking, because I knew
that's
there was
the one
there.
Gone. That's the one that's gone.
No, according to this, that's the way it's supposed to be.
No. But the sign's not there. The sign disappeared in
there's
the
There's no sign at all.
No.
Ah.
And that's why I'm asking.
By ordinance, so they can go put a sign up.
Wow. Yes, ma'am. I mean, Swan Lane.
Swan and Telegraph.
Swan Lane.
It's the
Swan is the through street. Telegraph is the cross street.
And it should be on Telegraph. No.
The sign would be on
Swan Lane.
Was it on Swan?
No,
it
the through street
Swan
is
Lane
Swan.
To stop the flow of traffic going too fast.
Okay.
It was on Swan Lane.
I knew there was
okay,
one on
you know what? Let's swing this back in. Because we've got stop signs. Let's.
So the problem was, you walk into some areas, so what are those areas that you were recommending so that, again, we can cross-reference that to this list, see if there, are there or were removed for certain reasons, and then if you want to revise this entire ordinance, you have to do that with any additions and deletions.
Okay, but and if it's already if the ordinance has already established the sign and it's only the sign that's disappeared, then it should go back up.
Right. People do that. It's like they have an inventory, but again, this was not just the only location.
Oh no, I understand. Yeah.
Recommending new locations.
Well, that one gentleman, that's what he was talking about. I thought.
No, I have a recommendation.
Okay.
On Redding and Autumn. Reading is the through street. It is not a four-way stop at Autumn, right before you get on, go across to the bridge to get to Vinecrest, which is a four-way stop.
No, it's not.
Yeah. At Vinecrest, it is. Vinecrest
it's
and
a three-way stop.
And Reading.
And this is a three-way.
Yeah.
Because it goes
stop.
Into that cul-de-sac
that
thing.
Way. Yes.
Yeah.
But you have to stop both places.
Yeah.
But at Reading, they come straight through, and on Autumn, you stop. And if you don't realize there's not a stop sign at Reading, you can get whacked.
Well, it sounds like people need to pay attention when they drive.
Well, yes, I do. I use that intersection a lot, and, they tend to zip right through that intersection.
So for the stop, for that list that we need to go back over and go to each stop sign to see if it's still there, I know Public Works has a lot going on, so I don't. Could it possibly the police department or something assist, or the fire? Can you assist and maybe everybody split the list up, or I don't know.
Yeah, basically, okay. It's okay. Needs to audit the list, verify.
I know everybody's busy. I just, you know. Okay.
Cool. We need some more bodies, dear.
So I think one of the things that's really not clear in the name is it's so old. So the area you mentioned that Autumn is ready is on here.
But it's it says that Reading is the through street and Autumn is the cross street.
It is. So
I want to see a four-way stop.
For three-way. Yes.
Four-way.
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 Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
We don't need one.
Just two little poles with a sign. That's all I want.
Well, it takes an ordinance.
I know.
Yeah.
Money we don't have.
And money.
I'll buy the signs.
It ain't the signs. It's the printing day now. I'd like you to look at Fred Hayes at Ben Zingelman. On Ben Zingelman. We now have a racetrack. We have a brand new racetrack. Trust me, I live on it.
Yeah, see, that's why I was telling y'all that one stop sign at Telegraph was on Swan Lane to stop
that's
that.
That's right. You're right. But yeah, I would like you to.
It doesn't matter what it says. You're telling you where it was at.
Yeah.
Well, then also, since I mean, just suggestions up here, but I feel that also possibly police, fire, and Director Ives. I mean, they're driving the streets. I mean, we're driving the streets every day, too, but they're really driving the streets every day. So they might have a suggestion. So if you have a suggestion, could you forward that to Monique? Okay.
Monique, what about Gady and Cinderella?
I'm sorry. I'm looking at this. Is that Gady on here? And it's not on here.
Really?
Yep, it does. Last page.
Does it have an ordinance hooked to it?
It was on Swan Lane. It's just telling you to take it off.
So each schedule was attached to like the different ordinances through the year. So that's the most powerful.
So somebody, I cannot believe that. Are you serious?
That's what it said.
Wow.
You removed your own stop sign.
No, I didn't. Fred Hayes, I didn't remove.
Cinderella. Gaty and Cinderella, delete intersection of Gaty Lane and Cinderella as a stop intersection, right here.
Yeah, that one.
Need to reverse that one.
Yeah.
You know, I thought that was just removed when they fixed the street. The sign just disappeared. Shows you how sharp I am.
Wow. The tax, right, buddy? Okay. Is there any more discussion on this issue?
So we're going to get it verified first before we. Okay.
Yes.
Any suggestions from
the police and the fire?
And Director Ives, because, I mean, I think it's more efficient if they actually drive every street, probably every day.
Can we tell them where we can have access?
Yes.
That would give us a better idea of where we might need to
travel. There you go.
Thank you.
Wonderful.
Okay. All right. That takes care of that. Moving on to 9K. Possible discussion and action on City Council member packets printing and distribution.
We missed Jay.
Yes.
Yes, Jay.
The billing service.
You know, that I really wanted to skip it because it's a really sore thorn.
That's a Freudian slip.
No, it's not a Freudian slip. It's a thorn in my side. But we'll go back to it. 9J. Discussion and possible action on entering into an agreement for the City of Kirby EMS billing services.
Research on that.
city of Kirby used to do that when we came out to them, and they charged us $300 per call. No matter what was used, no matter what was done, as long as it was transported, $300 per call. Subsequent, right after I started about 2008, 2009, City of Kirby entered into a contract with Specialized Billing out of Houston, Texas. At that time, they went from billing 10 items that City of Kirby was doing for the $300 per call to billing 125 items, 5 drugs and mileage for EMS billing. We've been with Specialized Billing since that first initial contract. And I know our EMS contract is coming up June 30th of 21. I've invited Ms. Carrillo with Annex Billing Services, who provided a contract for y'all, as well as a bid, and the Specialized Billing has also submitted a
Okay, what happens if we let it expire?
It'll continue
on the clock. Okay, and okay, never mind. I got it. How long will it take you to get other bids?
Depending on how fast the other companies respond. Like, I started, I want to say, almost 3 weeks ago when I took over the position. I reached out to her company. I reached out to QuickBit out of Dallas. The other ones I have not even tried that.
How many times have you called them?
I've called twice since then, like 7 weeks.
Is this lady a local company?
Yes.
And this is our current company?
No.
No.
Yeah. No. ABS.
Okay.
So what?
She's that second one.
Are we having problems with our current company?
Not that I'm aware of.
Are you happy with what you have?
Right.
I am. The rate is currently 11%.
Right.
And they only bill EMS calls, not fire calls, for automobile accidents. Excuse me. However, they also help with the annex cost reporting. We go every year to this federal grant that says that it allows for non-payment issues. Every time the annex rolls, say to a motor vehicle accident, there's no payment. That's funds that can't be collected. We get reimbursed back for that. They help us with that at a cost, of course. And as we like right now, Karen with Specialized Billing is working on some of that cost reporting through the state right now. They're asking more information.
Can I ask what the ambulance supplemental payment program is?
That's the federal grant. The state of Texas gets X amount of federal funds from it, and depending on how many agencies apply for it, depending on how many funds you get for the individuals that are not able to pay.
Okay, so on the Specialized Billing, I was reading through the thing. They get 11% of whatever they bill, plus they get 14% from that. Okay, well, compared to ABS, which is 5% on the first year, 7% for years 2 through 5, but then you didn't have an amount for the ambulance supplementary payment program. It's 14?
Seven.
Seven? So it's 7 plus 7 in the second year.
Come on, step up there. Step
7 sites.
Well, no, they already get 7% of whatever they bill, plus they get 7. Okay.
7% of the supplement.
Okay.
Yeah.
Thank you. That was the number I was looking for.
Yeah. So
the package
is exactly half.
Yes, it is half.
Yeah.
Step up to the microphone, please.
Go ahead.
There you go.
Thank you. Okay.
What is your billing turnaround? Say like if an EMS goes to a residence and they transport a resident to a hospital in January, what is the billing turnaround for that when that resident receives that bill?
Okay, I have a question about late fees. You charge 1.5% on late fees after 10 days. Is that after you send the bill to us?
No, we don't charge late fees.
It says so in the proposal. Perfect. Thank you. Just clarifying. Okay.
I see you're really good. How do you feel about the communications there, Chief, and the availability of that? How do you feel about the communications and the availability to review daily?
And that would cost more money.
Okay. You have no problem with the system you have right now. The system for ABS is going to charge us about half of what the current system is going to charge us, although you say you'll need new software if we get the ABS system. Do you prefer to wait for additional proposals to come in, or can you make a decision on what you prefer between the two you have now?
The choices I have now, I would say the specialized billing. Even though, yes, it's 11% right now, with the extra security that is embedded in their EGCR, I cannot look at another agency and be able to pull up calls from her. Whereas the Stratton, which we used to use, I was able to do that. I could look at another agency and pull up Kirby data just by logging in.
Well, with the current services that we have,
correct,
their billing is absolutely horrible.
Yes.
Horrible. I don't have a problem with the prices that are charged, but I have a problem that I used the service in January and didn't get an invoice until yesterday, 6 months later. That's horrible. That should never happen.
Yes, I can understand that.
And when the EMS came to my house, not one of them asked for insurance. So now I have to turn around and do my due diligence and send that to my insurance company, which is going to take longer because insurance companies take their time. So that's probably 3-4 months down the line before that gets paid.
Yes, ma'am. I can apologize about the crew not asking for insurance. I know when I'm on the truck, I always ask just, you know, we can get that written. Our billing comes in currently, and I'm not sure if Mr. Rio can attest to that. Our current billing comes, especially our billing, if we don't get insurance information, they have the ability to look it up and get some information and put it, attach it to the report. It's our job, the crew's job, my job, to get that information while we're right there to speed up that process. Yes.
What would the software cost be to have to upgrade to if we chose your company?
For the software, for the ECPR system that he's talking about.
Yes.
I think the first question I need to ask is, do you still have Stratton as president?
We have
as far
as I know, we do not have Stratton as president. Because we went directly with the same ECPR system that just more secure than the right.
Okay, so then that's an expense that you don't have to from full training, so they will come out and train every single one of the medics. If they do not have training, life, then they will have it, of course.
Is that an extra charge? Or does it just go with the sophomore? Okay.
Chief, are there other companies out there that we can get a bid from that that use our current software?
Our current software, unfortunately, is licensed through specialized
vendors. Ah, it's their software.
Got it.
Okay.
If your software is old, is out there, there's different versions of it, but specialized vendors has bought the license for the one that we use is coded to them.
Right.
Ma'am, is your software proprietary to you?
No.
Open in.
Done deal.
Yep.
Well, let me ask again. Do you want more bids, or do you want to make a decision on between these two?
I can get more bids. I would be happy to keep reaching out to you.
I think that would be great.
Do we want to table this or postpone?
I think we need to table it.
Boy, if we table it to the next meeting, we postpone it.
You're right. Postpone to the last meeting in July.
There you go.
So Chief has adequate time to acquire more bids for his system. I will entertain a motion.
I move that we table, no, postpone this discussion to the last meeting in July.
Second.
We have a motion on the table by Councilmember Street and seconded by Councilmember Salazar to postpone 9J, the agreement for the City of Kirby EMS billing services, to be postponed to the last meeting of July. City Secretary, please call roll.
Councilmember Street?
Yes.
Councilmember Martin?
Yes.
Yes.
Councilmember
Salazar?
Yes.
Councilmember
Ryder?
Yes.
Mayor
Alder? Yes. Now we will move on to 9K. Discussion and possible action on City Council member packet printing and distribution. I had asked our city manager to place this on the agenda because last meeting, the council packet was 200 pages. Mm-hmm. This meeting, it was 70 pages. And they're printing it out four times. The city purchased iPads so the council could go green and to cut down on the printing expenses. And with the copier contract that the city currently has, they are allotted so many copies. If they go over, we're charged more.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? I want to see us use our iPads. If the iPads are not accessible to you, you can provide your, if it's too small, you can provide your own device like I did. Or you can use your council stipend that you get and print it yourself. I know that I've heard from several council members that they do not have access to the Dropbox. I know that Monique or Patty can help out with that. I know all of us up here want to look out for the best for our community, save money. That's just my feelings.
Okay, no problem.
Does anybody have any discussion?
So I do use paper, and I do print out paper. For me, it's so I understand what you're saying about going green and everything, but I use paper for a reason. I like, when I get my packet, I spread my papers out, I make my notes. I make my notes here while I'm here also. The iPad is too small. I would prefer a laptop. I will not buy my own laptop for the city. You guys can provide me one. Would it be better if more efficient if I brought my own pack of paper? I mean, what would that help?
I mean,
how much money are we spending for two times a month of worth of printing for us? That's being so costly.
I don't know how much we're spending, because we would get, you know,
Well, I think you can solve your problem by buying you a notepad if you want to take notes. I mean, if I'm willing to do that and I'm computer illiterate, you know.
I also use all the, I use the copies. I write on everything. That's how I go through and have know what I need to talk about.
Even with these copies, you can make your own, like she said.
I would, except my printer is not where I can get the Wi-Fi to the iPad to get to the Dropbox, because I can't get to the Dropbox from my computer in my office.
You can also go to FedEx Kiko and have them print it.
Yep.
I have a printer. Why do I need to go to FedEx?
I give my stipend back. I don't get a stipend. I hope Monique will use that stipend if that causes a problem. Buy paper so I can get copies. I want my hands on. I don't want tablet. I want to see where I'm writing on it. I can find it right here.
Well, Councilmember Martin, that is your choice to deny your stipend. I deny my stipend as well. I don't want to incur any charges. I mean, on my behalf for the city. If I want something printed, I print it myself. If I don't have access to a printer, I go over to FedEx Kinko's and I have it printed and I pay for it myself.
Exactly.
Well, if it was a PDF, I could print it from my computer, but I can't print from the Dropbox. I can't get to the Dropbox.
Monique, is there any way that we can change this? We can get a PDF version?
Well, it's in PDF in the Dropbox, but I can email it.
It is.
That would be, then I could get to it. I can't download the Dropbox from my office. If that will alleviate your stress over paper usage,
is this going to take care of all the rest of the paper we print out?
Are we not going to get anything else printed?
Well, we're all here talking about. Look at all this paper.
And I'm writing on all of it.
Yeah. We get paper every time we come to a meeting.
Well, and it doesn't need to be that way. It doesn't need to be that way.
Well, I use it. I have notes on most pieces of it.
I mean, if I have to buy more,
I think it's a waste of time. Putting all these, and then of course, Patty's got to spend several hours getting packaged together because we are refusing to use an iPad.
Well, I mean, I'm not going to say I don't know your time management or anything like that, I know you're very, very busy, but out of all of us up here, out of four people, printing a packet one time, four times? Every 2 weeks, that's not.
Well, in your primary call, that's not.
Pressing print four times is not. I don't understand that as viable.
But when we have. Well, my issue is that when we have packets that are 200 pages each, and we've got four council members that are wanting their packets printed.
That's over 800 copies a month.
Was offered to us.
That's over 800 copies a month.
Then we would have a small packet every meeting.
Correct. That's true.
That is true. That's the cost of doing business, isn't it?
Yes, but aren't we up here to try and to look out
down,
for
cut down those.
And again, how much are we? How much?
How much are we talking?
That's what I'm saying. How much
and
per month?
You can't tell us how much the extra charges are. I'll bring you a ream of paper.
Well, and for me, that's not my thing. The only thing I would ask those people, however you want it. The only thing I'm going to ask is that if we continue to print packages, that we're going to have to move the pickup time for packages to like the day after lunch. We post agendas on Monday night. Patty and I are here, and we are here until it's posted at 9, sometimes 10 o'clock. So we can't have 800 pages to have them ready for 8 a.m. pick up the next day. So you just got to give her a little more time.
Not a problem.
That's fine. And that's a good point. I never even asked because the way I look at it, too, is wherever. So this would be considered if I'm here working as a city council member, this is my place of business, correct?
Mm-hmm.
So is there somewhere in the back of office or something I can go in there and click print? Like, would that be, and I could stand by the copier and do it. Oh, okay. Okay.
Everybody uses
big machine. So I had, it was the mayor's suggestion I bought going green, because that was why we bought the iPad in 2017 to go green. And that worked out fine, but now, you know, we're at a point where my only concern is if we're paying more packets for more members, we need more time to print those. And so you can kind of hit print. I mean, it's a whole process. She posts an agenda outside by 6 p.m. just so you can see that. Then she has to post it on the website by a certain time. Then after that, after she and I go back and forth with you putting all the packets assembled, then she has to go and make all those two-sided copies of that. Yeah, you know, I mean, it's a tedious process to do that, right? So we can get all that done that night. We're not going to get all that done. But now we're staying to print 800 sheets of paper before we leave that night. So my only request would be allow her to come in the next morning at 8.
That's fine.
Everybody else is using the printer also. So she can hit one packet, and you got to let other people print.
That's fine.
Get another packet. You know,
Tuesday afternoon is not a problem.
It's not always how many pages there, but this last time it was 200 pages. The scanner wouldn't even take. We had to break it in
I think I'd like to give Patty a little bit more time other than noon. I would say maybe 2 or 3.
That's fine.
Yeah, I
well, here's the thing, too. It's not bringing in the paper. Because it's the machine that counts the pages.
I know.
So it don't make any difference who donates what.
I mean, I'm still against the copies no matter what.
I don't care. We'll pick it up Wednesday morning.
We're going to buy all the paper as we need. If the copy goes over, the cannon's going to build up no matter what. So that's going to happen.
Can you get us that cost?
That's not going to change. What you're trying to change is the paperwork here in the council. Whatever you do, you use in a month, you're still going to use that paper. She's trying to cut down on.
I'm not going to be able to tell you a cost, you know, per page for just the council.
That's what I'm saying. Just what the
overage is. But you'll know if you were 2,000 over last month, it could have been our 800 pages. Yes, it could have been.
And also, is this just with the contract with Canon? Is that just with this the printer here, or is that also the printer at like the fire?
You're all one.
It's all together. So that's what I'm saying. We wouldn't really know if.
No, it's not. That.
Well, each one has its own. Well, either way I see it, I think we're wasting a lot of paper, and we don't need to be doing it.
Was that
one maybe an anomaly, the fact that we had so many because we were catching up?
Gotcha. Okay. Gotcha. Gotcha.
That's why I would like the council members to be able to print their own.
Oh, so they can load off the drop box. Theirs did.
I can't get to the drop box.
So we're going to solve that problem, Susan.
I don't have a print.
FedEx.
Why should I go pay for it when I'm trying to serve?
Well, I thought you were trying to help the community.
I am.
Okay.
He's already given it.
I'm already giving my stipend back.
And so have I.
Well, I mean, that's on you guys. That's on what you
want to do. But, you know, we don't work for the city. We got elected for the city to do the right thing. And not to complain about somebody not making you copies.
Well, also on top of that, I mean, I don't really understand why this would be an agenda item if we really would want to have papers as an agenda item. That would take the time to meet.
Obviously, it wasn't.
Well, they have to make a decision. That's why it's on there.
Okay, so where do we want to go, folks?
Let's do this. We're going to table this to
the last meeting? No.
Table is to...
We're postponing it.
No, yeah, we're going to do it. Let's do it now.
Hold on. We're going to table it to July 8th. What I would like to see, the billing and the overages, how much we're charged. I would also like to see the availability of the packet being put in PDF and emailed for the council members that can't get Dropbox. Also, I would like to see what it would cost if we purchased our own machine and maintained it ourselves with the toner and everything else.
No.
You can agree with that.
It's just an idea. It's just an idea.
We have a problem. We run a city here, and we're worried about paper. Are we worried about the forest? Killing the forest off? Are we worried about saving money to fix our potholes with? It ain't the issue ain't the paper.
Well, you know what, Councilmember Martin? I think every penny counts.
I do, too. So let's take, if we're going to save this money, let's put it towards potholes.
I agree. I 100% wholeheartedly agree with you.
I don't see where 800 pages a month is killing us.
Well, it shouldn't be killing you then.
All right, I will entertain a motion to table this to the next meeting.
I make a motion we table this issue to the meeting of July the 8th. Right.
We have a motion on the table to table 9K. We have a motion granted by Mayor Pro Tem Grant to table, seconded by Councilmember Salazar. City Secretary, please call roll.
Mayor Pro Tem Grant?
Yes, ma'am.
Councilmember Salazar?
Yes.
Councilmember Ryder?
Yes.
Councilmember Street?
Yes.
Councilmember Martin?
No.
Mayor Aldrich?
Yes.
Hmm. 9L, discussion and possible action on resolution R-2021-737, authorizing the mayor to enter into a community development block grant CDBG program cooperation agreement with the County of Bear, State of Texas, for U.S. Department of Housing and Urban Development Community Development Block CDBG and Home Grant Funding.
So this is the agreement that was approved last council meeting so that we can continue to be eligible to apply for CDBG funds. You all approved the agreement. I did not realize at the time that the county wanted a resolution to accompany the agreement. And it is due tomorrow, so we would need to approve the resolution tonight and then we can submit it.
I'm going to make you read the whole thing.
Mayor, make a motion. We approve resolution R-2021-737, authorizing the mayor to enter into the Community Development Block Grant Program Cooperative Agreement with County of Bear, State of Texas, for U.S. Department of Housing and Urban Renewal, Community Development Block Grant, and Home Grants Funding.
Second.
We have a motion made by Mayor Pro Tem Grant and seconded by Councilmember Salazar to authorize the mayor to enter into a community development block grant CDBG program cooperative agreement with the County of Bear. City Secretary, please call roll.
Mayor Pro Tem Grant?
Yes.
Councilmember Salazar?
Yes.
Councilmember Ryder?
Yes.
Councilmember Street?
Yes.
Councilmember Martin?
Yes.
Mayor Aldrich?
Yes. Moving on to 10A, City Manager Announcements.
So this is only asking to remind everyone about our annual 4th of July event from 5 to 10 p.m. on the 4th. Parking is free until 6 p.m. After that, it's $5 a carload. We do have 4 committed vendors for the event. We will not have a live band planned, but we will have a DJ that was going to perform the entire time to do a training for the fireworks show. So everything has been secured and taken care of for that event. There There will not be any alcohol served. We were not able to secure an entity loaded into the MDC license to do that. So it will be a non-alcoholic event and family friendly. There's still no outside food or drinks. So we encourage everyone to come and participate in that. So far, we have secured $13,500 in sponsorships.
Cool.
So we're going to have a little bit of people come in.
We will move on to 11A, request announcements by mayor and council members for items to be placed on future agendas and announcements of city events and community interests. Council member Salazar.
Yeah, I just got a couple of things I need to say. I don't have anything for our agenda. Memorial services for Jan Russell be Saturday, 12 o'clock. At Alamo United Methodist Church. Also, a volunteer at the Senior Center, Charlotte Turdon, lost her husband, which is a real good friend of mine, just this past weekend. Charlotte's been a big help with Meals on Wheels over there and helping the senior citizens. Well, my friend Don lost his life last week. And one final one, Margaret Zotz, the administrator's secretary to Roland Toscano at East Central Independent School District. She was there many years. 11 days after her retirement, she passed away just this past week. So condolences to all those families, you know, that worked real close with me, Margaret Zotz. Husband worked with my father at Halo. You know, they retired out of Halo. The Russell family, of course, helped the city out a lot with its committees. And here again, Charlotte over there at the senior center. So, you know, we got to look out for one another because, you know, we're falling by the wayside.
Yes, sir. Councilmember Greider.
The gentleman earlier, I didn't catch his name, the one about the drainage just sparkling in Ackerman. Okay. And I noticed earlier when we were, Director Ives was talking about the assessment was going to be like half and half, correct? Okay. So do we know if this is on the sparkling in Ackerman is on the first assessment or? Okay. So then we'll know where it falls then. Okay. And then my other thing was we did talk about last meeting the mayor brought up about Janky, and then we had another individual, John, came in about Janky and Hedgewick. I know we were talking about getting another bid for another engineering firm. Are we going to wait to see to...
Okay.
The roller coaster ride was smooth a little bit.
Okay. And the only other thing I have to say is just everyone please be safe on 4th of July weekend. Be safe. That's it. Thank you.
Addressing this situation here at Sparkling, there's a couple other places now. A lot of this is going to get addressed when Ackerman gets redone, but this one particular place, it does flood all the time. And having been an officer out here and still being an officer, I think there's times when maybe a little common sense would prevail. If you're having to park your car in a foot of water to get out to walk up to your house, and there's a perfectly paved street up there, even though it has a no parking sign, I get that. Maybe sometimes a little bit of leniency or common sense should be put into place to allow someone not have to wade through water to go to their house. I mean, there's no fast, hard rule about no parking signs. I live on Ben Zingelman. We got them up and down the north side, and there's not a day that doesn't go by that somebody is not parked in front of one of the houses. And the reason being is because the driveway, they have guests, and their driveway can't take all the cars. And I've yet to see a ticket there. And to be honest about it, as an officer, I wouldn't write that ticket anyway. And I'm just being honest with you. Now, I can't direct anyone to do anything. All I'm asking is maybe thinking about that. And when this situation, it doesn't flood every day of the week. It floods for the last couple of rains we had, and now it's not flooded at all, so everybody can walk to their house. But when something like this occurs, maybe just use a little common sense and say, hey, you know, we're going to let them sit there for a day or park for a day because they don't have to wait to their house. And the last meeting, someone brought up a situation about a mile-per-hour sign. Well, I will tell you this again. We had a mile-per-hour sign. And in honestly, folks, they're totally useless. They don't do anything. All they do is tell you you're going too damn fast and there's nobody around there to enforce it. So, I mean, spending that kind of money, the only thing that you could use a sign like that for is if it recorded time, date, and speed and where it was, and you could use that to measure the traffic on a street. And I think we got that one pretty much figured out. Our police department knows what streets to work. So I just wanted to put that out there. That's, you know, something that we really don't need. I'd much rather see that go into other type of traffic control devices. And y'all have a safe and happy 4th of July. I'm going to be sitting with my dog, giving her little Valium for doggies while she goes crazy. But y'all enjoy the fireworks display. Thank you.
Councilman Andrews. I have several things. Presentation on the asphalt zipper machine. I'm working on a presentation for that with figures and machinery that we would need to do the process, including personnel and whatnot. I'm hoping I can get someone to come in and talk, but if not, I will do it. So if we could put that, make sure that's on the agenda for next time. Yes. Are we going to do that? Yes. Yes. Okay. Also, last meeting, Ms. Willie Mae Clay was asking about a ramp at the Via bus stop on Charles Conrad. Ms. Monique, did you get a chance to check on that?
Now, the mayor and I just had a meeting with Via yesterday.
Tuesday.
Okay, well, I just wanted to follow up on it because it wasn't on the agenda, and I wanted to make sure that if it needs to be, we put it on the agenda. So.
Yeah, there's really nothing on our end. We're trying to get Via to fund that,
right? Okay, great. Also, a reminder to email or call Bexar County Commissioner's Court about how much Kirby needs the CDBG grant. I've emailed Precinct 4, and the last day to do that is July 8th, so please email them and tell them that we deserve that grant. Okay? And last thing, town hall. Councilmember Grant and Martin and I are going to have a town hall meeting on July 17th. That's Saturday morning from 9 to 11 at Hugo Lentz Park. Bring your questions, and we will answer them to the best of our ability. Okay. Everybody have a happy 4th. Be safe. Thank you.
Councilmember Martin.
I want to thank everybody for coming. I want to thank the city staff, police, fire, public works, everybody. I have two items I'd like to bring up, and they've already been brought up. I'd like to get the Parks and Rec Foundation started.
I believe that's already been working on.
Okay. I knew it was brought up, but I didn't know. And another thing, at the last meeting, Ms. Tinahosa asked for some funding for the planning and zoning to get some counseling or something.
Yeah, so they want a professional to come in and be able to do an assessment of their needs. Yeah.
Did we address that too?
Mike, can I tell you something? We've had that twice, and the least we got was $30,000. to come in and tell us where we're supposed to put businesses. That we don't have the property. So you, if you want to...
No, that's not what she's saying.
Yes, that's what she wants, an assessment, sir. She wants an assessment of the city property. Well, that's what, yeah, I mean, that's what they do.
Okay, we're not going to argue.
Oh, no, it's not arguing.
Just give her the funding if we can.
Let him have his turn.
I'm sorry.
Okay.
That's all I have.
Thank you. Okay, as city manager said, on Tuesday, Monique and I had a meeting with Via about the concrete pad that Ms. Clay was requesting. We are waiting for Via to come back with us on that, and we are going to follow up on that because I think that does need to be replaced. And Wednesday, I had a meeting with Judge Nelson Wolf, and I asked him about the CDBG grants, and he didn't have an answer for me.
I'm just agreeing with you here.
Every question I asked that man, he looked at his assistant and says, "Do you have an answer for that?" He couldn't answer the question himself.
Nope.
So, and I asked him, why are all the other suburban cities being awarded these large sums of money when Kirby is denied $500,000 to repair a residential street? It's absurd. I asked him, I said, are we being discriminated against? Because we're not on the side of the county that has a lot of money. The cities that are being granted this money, they have large tax bases. And Kirby is over here suffering. That was the first thing that upset me, when he told me that he couldn't help me. The second thing is, I need every citizen in the city of Kirby that owns a property. You need to look at your property statement for your property taxes. On that very first line, it says, Bexar County Road and Flood Tax. I asked him, what is that for? And he said to me, it is to repair roads in the county. And I said, well, you know what, Judge Wolf? I am so glad that you said that. I said, because Kirby needs your help. Kirby needs help and assistance from Bexar County for the taxes that our citizens are paying through their property taxes to Bexar County. Our streets are absolutely horrible. We don't have the money in our budget to fix our streets. We have the money in our budget to maintain our status quo, to keep our city going, and we need the county's help. I don't know if I can even fathom the words, what he said to me, but he told me, well, my hands are tied. All 26 cities within Bexar County pay the same tax, and that money goes to repair roads in the unincorporated areas of the county. And I told him that is unacceptable. And actually, I will say what he told me. He told me that I should move to a city that has money. And I told him, I said, now, Judge Wolf, that is not very appropriate, and that would not, and I would not be serving the community that I was just elected to serve. I will say, I did not make a friend that day, and that does not bother me. But letters need to be written to the commissioner's court. We need to hit up Tommy Calvert. We need to write letters to Barbara Gervins Hawkins. We need to move this up through the line. If we have any chance of getting any type of repairs or relief for our city and our roads. And I will end with thank you everybody for attending this meeting tonight. I know it went longer than I expected. I want to welcome my special guest from Atlanta, my G-mama. And I want to wish everybody a safe and happy 4th. Come out to the park and celebrate with us. I'll be looking to see everybody's faces. Meeting adjourned.
That's exactly what I put in my note. What you just said.
Oh.